So, intro to Windows PowerShell. Windows PowerShell was introduced in 2008 server, okay, and has been enhanced and improved in every server since. So, Windows PowerShell version 4 is all about PowerShell automation, okay? We're all used to PowerShell a little bit by now, but PowerShell commandlets allow us to do a lot of tasks in a faster process than trying to click through a GUI interface. It gives us a lot more power when we want to do automation and scripting of those automation tasks. We also now have Windows PowerShell workflows. So in 2012, we introduced workflows, but in R2, we're now extending those workflows even further. So the workflows go beyond the single server boundary that traditional PowerShell scripts had. We can now execute PowerShell workflows against multiple servers in the data center. So, Windows PowerShell, we are now just looking at Windows. We're not talking PowerShell for Exchange or SharePoint or Link or any of the other products. Just the Windows platform PowerShell 4. We have a broader coverage with over 3,000 commandlets. Okay? We also have Windows PowerShell web access. So you can actually give customers access to PowerShell through a web interface. So if you don't want to give a customer access to the console of their server, you could give them web access. For people that are trying to give customers access to SQL PowerShell, you could actually give them access to a web interface and they could then launch the SQL PowerShell commandlet from inside that and then do tasks against SQL or Exchange or SharePoint without actually having to access the desktop of the server. There's greater resiliency. When we drop a connection to a server, when we reconnect, we should re-get our existing PowerShell session. Okay, so if you drop a session to a server, you should, when you reconnect, it should come up with where you were left off in your PowerShell session. Session configuration files, job scheduling. We also have the Windows PowerShell workflows. High performance, we're now able to do on-the-fly compilation of scripts, and they now run about 6 times faster than they did in previous versions. We also have an integrated scripting environment with IntelliSense and code snippets, and I'm going to show you some of the features and functions we have in that shortly. We also have commandlet discovery and module auto-loading, as well as updatable help and script sharing. So IntelliSense, we have a tool called PowerShell ISE. Okay, some of you that were here for the SQL sessions are also aware of this tool. We were using it earlier. But the PowerShell ISE enables us to execute commands, find out what the variables are or parameters that we can set against a commandlet. But we can also write a script and grab and drop commandlets or use IntelliSense to complete the commandlets that we're not 100% sure on. You need to be careful, though. Some of the PowerShell commandlets and scripting has to be case-sensitive. Okay, so please be careful and work out which things need to be case-sensitive and which ones don't. So we can have simplified scripting. We have syntax simplifications. Okay, we also have simplified scripting through the ISE interface. We also have built-in code snippets, including templates for functions, as well as parameters and statements. So I don't know about you, but personally, I work with pretty much all the Microsoft stack of products. Each product has quite a few thousand commandlets each. And I don't know about you, but as I'm getting older, my memory's dropping. So I personally can't remember the 20 to 30 to 40,000 commandlets that I need to know on a daily basis. So the ISE PowerShell command module really helps me out big time, especially when you can't quite remember the full name of the commandlet or the parameters you can set against that commandlet. So when we talk about PowerShell ISE, don't think of it as only for the Windows PowerShell modules. You can import Exchange, SQL, all the other product into there as well. Okay, and you'll have the same availability for that module. So many of the new modules that allow the use of Windows PowerShell 4 to manage all aspects of the data center is new modules for application background tasks, Defender, Net Event Packet Capturing, PS Desired State Configuration, Sync Shares, WDS, Web Application Proxies, Windows Search, and there's a whole heap of other ones. The Windows PowerShell Web Access has greater resiliency than if you've tried it in earlier versions. We're able to manage computers using that PowerShell browser, okay? So we can connect to remote servers, we can use that PowerShell web browser to connect in. That browser is built for tablets and mobile devices, so if you do have a tablet or a device that doesn't have PowerShell native to it, you can actually still manage your servers. So if you have a Surface RT or a Windows mobile device, you could actually still run PowerShell on a remote server through the web interface. You don't have to do a full RDP session and get desktop control and all that sort of thing. So users can connect via the browser through the PowerShell Web Access Gateway to run a script on a server. The user loses connection to the internet, and then the user reconnects to the internet at a later point. So they could be traveling and they lose internet connectivity or something. When they reconnect to the Windows PowerShell session, it will still pick up the running state of the last session they had. So if I was halfway through running a PowerShell commandlet, I'd hit enter and it was processing. When I reconnect, I'll pick up and see the results of that process. Okay. So one of the cool examples we normally use is if we've remoted in onto an Exchange server, we kick off a mailbox migration or something like that, or a VM move of a heap of VMs, and for some reason I lose internet connectivity because the power goes out or something. When I reconnect a couple of hours later, it shows me what the results of my session were, okay, because I pick up that same session. Job scheduling. The job scheduling has had a bit of an upgrade, so we're having better improved management of automation. So we can schedule jobs for execution at a later time. So we can schedule a PowerShell commandlet to run later. So if I don't want to stay up for 3 hours to execute a command, I could schedule that command to execute, and then a couple of hours later, if I wake up, I can jump online and check to see what happened. Okay? So it's pretty handy to be able to schedule. So the jobs execute based on triggers. You can trigger it for once a day, daily, weekly, at startup, at logon. There's a whole heap of events that we can trigger. One of the examples is a create a job trigger based on the desired schedule. So we register the scheduled job called my scheduled job with a script block. We get a process trigger. So once the trigger is fired and the job is run, you can work with it the same way you do regular background jobs. So you could do an import module, PS schedule job, etc. Some of the real world scenarios is join domain through workflow. So being able to get machines to join domains, you can create a script, execute that script using the workflow, and it will go and add the computer to the domain. And then once it's joined the domain, you can force a restart, etc., like you would have to if you were manually on the box. You can also use the workflow to go against multiple servers. So if you've just built or kicked off a template process that, and you forgot to, for example, in your VM template, set up the OS configuration to join your domain, and you've just created 10 VMs, we could actually get the PowerShell workflow process to go and capture a list of server names and then execute the join domain process against each of those and restart them, etc. So you wouldn't have to manually go to each one and run the join domain script. You could actually have the workflow, pull in the information we need about the list of servers, and then execute the domain join against that. Top 10 PowerShell commands. Okay, some of these are ones that we use on a fairly daily basis when we work with service providers. Add System Center Server feature, compress System Center virtual disk drives, copy, disable SCVMM hosts. So which place a virtual machine host into maintenance mode. So if you're going to do a lot of work on a host, you can add a PowerShell module, add a commandlet, type in the command, and put it into maintenance mode. So let me switch out of that mode. Oh, that's still going. We'll look into that in a minute. That should have refreshed. We'll come back to that demo in a sec. So what I'm going to do for those that haven't seen it is we're going to launch the PowerShell ISE. switch, even though I kicked it off on the other side. So what we have here is the Windows PowerShell ISE module or application. Up at the top here, where we have my mouse pointer, is where our scripting component is. This is where I can cut and paste commandlets, parameters, and start writing some script. Down the bottom here, the blue section, is our PowerShell session. Okay, that's our command line session. And on the far right here is all the modules and commandlets available to us. These are all the Windows modules. So these are all the modules that Windows has out of the box. Okay, I can see all of them. So one of the ones you're possibly going to have to run on your machines is when we want to run a script, there's an execution policy on your machine. Okay, so to make sure that I can run whatever script I want, I'm just going to type in set, and as you can see, it starts to minimize the list. I'm going to type in execution, and it automatically, as you can see here, gives me a list of the ones that meet. There's only one. So let's select that execution policy. You can also see now that I've selected it, it gives me a show details button. That show details button enables me to see what parameters I can set against that commandlet. Okay? So let's jump in, show details, and if I zoom back in, you'll see here I can now set the execution policy. I can set it unrestricted, so it'll let me run any execution policy, any scripts I want, or I can set it to remote signed, all signed restricted, bypass, undefined. So in this example, I'm going to select unrestricted. I'm going to force it. You can also tick the confirm box and it'll prompt you for a confirmation that you want to set that execution policy. So I've got a choice here. I can just hit run, and what that would do is paste it in my PowerShell session down the bottom and execute the command. So if I hit run, you'll see it's piped or inputted that commandlet into the PowerShell session and executed it. Okay? If I didn't want to run it, what I could do is I could hit the insert and it just inserts it into my PowerShell window and lets me either modify it or hit enter to execute it. Or I can hit copy and then I can come up to my PowerShell scripting session and I can paste it. So you can see up here, I've now pasted it. So if I wanted to do another command after that, I could simply come down, put in a couple of carriage returns, and then I could also come over to the name and do a get-network. Let's see. So I can come up here. I don't quite know which commandlet I want to run. So I've started typing in getnet, and I can see netadapter. So let's go get the netadapter. And then I can also hit show details again, and I can see some other parameters that I may want to set. So I can specify physicals instead of just the virtual adapters, or I can specify include in hidden. There's a whole range of different parameters I could get, but let's just copy that and let's just paste it up here. So now you can see that I have two different options up here. And what I'm going to do is jump back out for a sec. I'm going to highlight the GetNet adapter. So you can see that I've highlighted it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to, so next to the big green arrow, we have a green arrow, which is run selection. So if I've got a big PowerShell script and I only want to rerun a portion of it, I can highlight it and then I can run selection. And as you can see down the bottom, once I've hit it, we've now got all the different network adapters on the host. Okay? And now I've got that, I could save that script if I want and then I could just run that script on every machine, and it'll set the execution policy for me, and then also give me the list of network adapters. I could then go and get it to do other things against those network adapters if I wanted to, but I'm just here to demonstrate a very brief, quick way to show you that if you aren't familiar with PowerShell, don't know how to use PowerShell, we have a tool to help you get through. If you didn't want to use the command module on the right-hand side, what we can do is I can start typing the same sort of thing, and IntelliSense pops up. Okay? So as I start typing, it pops up a box that has options. You can't really see it very well on the projector, but I could select different options in that list. So, as I said, some commandlets are case sensitive. So you need to make sure that you follow that. But as you could see, the IntelliSense box does pop up. So if you're not familiar with it and you don't want to use the commandlet option down the right-hand side over here, you can start typing it and IntelliSense will pick up and start inserting the commands for you, as well as the other parameters after it. So does anyone have any questions on the Windows PowerShell ISE? No? Okay, good. Oh, we're up to 7%. That's going to take a very long time. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to kick you off into your labs.